Okay. Hey, I figured it out. Great. Okay, well, today is Tuesday, March 22nd. My name is Kathy Loopy. I am the interviewer today for Jim and Sandy Hartman. This is for the Oral History Project through the Arizona Humanities, and we're here at the Desert Caballeros Western Museum Library. So welcome.
Thank you.
And we'll get started with this interview. So, Sandy, I'd like to start with you and get your history of your connection to Wickenburg as far as your maiden name and how you and your family got here and the name of your parents and your siblings.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. I'm a native of Arizona, born in Phoenix. My family, they are from Kentucky and Missouri. We moved out here to Arizona in 37. We moved to Wickenburg in 1947.
Okay.
My parents, Myrtle Louise Gibson and James Gibson, we moved here to own and operate the Greyhound Bus Depot and Roundup Cafe.
And Roundup Cafe.
Mm-hmm. Roundup Cafe.
Okay. And
which is where we lived, in apartments next door.
Yeah, do you want to, you were telling me a little bit about that. Do you want to, this would be a good time to talk about the businesses along the way and the living situations.
When I moved here in 1947, I started school in a little red schoolhouse. At that point in time, Wickenburg Highway 60 was the main highway from Phoenix to California, and Highway 89 was the main highway from Phoenix to Flagstaff. At that time, everyone had businesses along the highway, and the majority of those businesses, we knew everyone, they all lived in their businesses. They all had apartments behind or little houses next door. And most of the kids I went to school with, they all worked in their businesses with their families, and I did as well. Mm-hmm. And from all the way from 5 miles east of town to probably, probably as far as Los Altos Drive. That's where all of the businesses were then.
Concentrated in
that particular area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you have any siblings?
I have two older sisters.
And what are their names?
Carolyn. Carolyn Rea, R-E-A.
And
Gibson.
Does she live here?
She's deceased.
Okay.
And then I had a sister, Jerry Hanger, who is also deceased. That's J-E-R-R-Y.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are they buried here in the Wickenburg Cemetery?
Yes.
So they lived their life here?
They kind of came and went.
Oh, okay.
But my parents are buried here.
Okay.
And so everyone kind of came home to be buried.
Oh, I love that. Great. Sure. Do you have memories of working at the Horseshoe Cafe and the Greyhound
Roundup Cafe?
The Roundup Cafe.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I started out as child labor at 6. My job was always to stock the candy counter and the magazine rack and help my mother because she always had to keep an eye on me. But I had a lot of free rein in this little town. We were always able to go with my friends and do things as long as she knew where I was. It was very safe and a lot of fun being raised here.
Mm-hmm. Plus, everybody knew.
Everybody.
Yeah. So if you were somewhere that you weren't supposed to be, chances are your mom and dad probably
My mom
got
knew.
A call.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was told to come home immediately.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous.
But I ate all my meals in the bus depot. Mm-hmm. Our apartment on the side just had living quarters,
mm-hmm.
and a living room and bedroom, and we had no kitchens. So different cooks would feed me through the through the years as my mother would be working in the bus depot.
And they probably mm-hmm. helped raise you too.
They did, all the waitresses and cooks.
Do you remember any of their names?
I remember all of them. Uh-huh. That would be a whole other story.
A whole other interview,
yes,
huh?
Yes.
Is there one that was significant that maybe was more of a nanny to you or anything?
None of them were really nannies, but they always watched me when the buses were in. But one is Patsy Warner, who is from the Warner family here.
Oh, okay.
And she started working as a waitress for Mom. And pretty soon, Mom put her over on the ticket counter. And Mom would let her do payroll. And school was only two blocks away. But sometimes, if I was late or if it was raining, Patsy would take my mom's car and take me to school.
Oh, great.
But she died at a very young age. And that was one of my first losses that I can remember.
Oh, that's always significant, isn't it?
Yeah. And Patsy is related to Julie Brooks.
Oh.
The Macias family.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great connection.
Yeah.
Good. In this conversation, let's talk about school. It was a couple blocks away, and you attended the Garcia School
with
your dear friend. Tell me about that.
Well, every morning when we would leave, all of the policemen drink coffee in our bus depot. So every morning, Highway 60, which is now Wickenburg Way at the underpass, was the main artery through town. And there was not a stoplight. So the chief of police or, one of the policemen was always there to help all of us across the street to stop the traffic. Because we all walked to school, so I met with my friends at the bus depot, the ones that were on that side of town. And we all walk to school. We go by the Wickenburg Pharmacy, which is where we're sitting right now doing this interview.
Oh, and there was a soda fountain there.
Soda fountain, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. Lime Coke's 5 cents. Egg salad sandwiches, 35 cents.
And probably candy there, too. But no, you got yours.
I had my own supply. And so we would all walk to school. Mm-hmm. And then at one time I did the patrol at school.
Oh, yeah. Traffic monitor.
Traffic monitor,
had
yeah.
Your
put my little sign out, yes.
Sign. Nice.
I did that for a little bit.
What about the schoolhouse itself? Was there different rooms? How many teachers?
When I started the first grade, it was the red schoolhouse, and that was just the first grade only. Mm-hmm. It was divided in half, mm-hmm. and the front door was one side, and then there was a side door that was the second half. I was on the second half with Mrs. Radis. And so I went through first grade there. We had two first grades. Mm-hmm. And then my second grade was Mrs. Chapman, mm-hmm. Ellen Chapman. And we had two army barracks on the grounds at the time. And so that was where my second grade was. My third grade, I went into the main building, which was a two-story walkout. And that had about, probably eight classrooms in that. But that was the one that burned down.
Okay.
Yeah. And the little red schoolhouse remained.
Great. Okay. Wow, you have good memory.
I do. I hope I keep it.
yes. Well, good. What kind of local activities did you and your family do? Like, did you go to the show and parades and rodeos? Did you do things like that?
I was in the very first Gold Rush parade with my family representing the Greyhound Bus Depot and Roundup Cafe in a 1947 convertible that belonged to a neighbor.
Uh-huh.
And we were always actively involved in everything.
Uh-huh.
From the time I was in the first grade to graduating from high school here.
So a very civic-oriented family.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we went to the movie a lot.
Okay.
Met all my friends at the movie. And at that time, Johnson's Department Store
mm-hmm.
and Brayton's Department Store, which is where the museum is now, they would always have fashion shows. And so I was always in the little fashion shows, and they would have it at the show house during intermission. And we would get up on the stage, and we would parade around in our little clothes, and then we'd go back, and then they would start the movie.
They should do stuff like that again.
Yeah, shouldn't they? It was mm-hmm. a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. What about Bowling Alley? Was there
the Bowling Alley didn't come along till I think it came along in 60 and I graduated in 59.
Okay.
So I was already gone then.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember many of the children that came from any of the guest ranches that were around? Because at that time they were still out of city limits mostly. Mm-hmm. And had their own school, right? The Burden Schoolhouse.
Yes, the Burden Schoolhouse. But the Burden kids all went to Wickenburg High. They were all older than me. Mm-hmm. My sisters were 9 and 12 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And so they went to school with John Burden and Dana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I remember them.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Any other activities? You wanted to add something?
Well, other than the ranch kids, there were a lot of kids that came by school bus from Yarnell,
okay.
Congress, Date Creek, Aguila, Winden, Morristown, and I believe Whitman at the time.
Great.
It's in the Nodbird School District now, but they all bused in. And one of my close friends, Doris Roberts, she was Miss Gold Nugget in 1960. She was Doris Owens Robert. Mm-hmm. She always used to stay with me in town on the weekends so we could go to the ball game on Friday night and the dances afterwards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were always involved in GAA. And
what's GAA?
Girls Athletic Association. We played softball and basketball.
Okay.
And we cheerleaded and pom-pommed. And, you know, everything that was offered at school, we took advantage of.
Sure, because there was no computers then.
No, no.
You had to stay active.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting back to the busing, what was the ethnic diversity of the children? Do you remember? Were there Native Americans that you went to school with?
No Hispanics? Native Americans at all. They were in Parker. We did play sports with them, and we always dreaded that because they were always bigger than us, our guys. Mm-hmm. And we still have the axe to this day. Whoever wins it gets the fireman's axe and gets to hold it for a year. That's still down there if you talk to Bill Moran about that.
Down where?
At the round gym at the school.
Oh.
That Bill has redone.
Well, that would be interesting to see. Okay. So Native Americans were in Parker. What about Hispanic children?
Oh, a lot of them. I grew up with them.
Okay.
And I wouldn't say it was half, but there were a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying that they generally didn't own businesses in town, but probably worked on ranches. Would I be accurate in saying that? More agricultural?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, their parents worked for ADOT, you know, the Highway Department, APS, the railroad. You know, there were some Native Americans, the Charlie family. There was housing up here for them, railroad housing, and it was just where the Wiesel Center is.
Yes.
There was housing up at that time for them. That's been torn down, and a new respite center has been built there.
Okay.
But, yeah, the Charlie family, and I imagine there were several others that I remember. Mm-hmm. And then Aguila was getting started in agriculture when I was still in high school. Mm-hmm. And there was we had one black family that lived there, and I went to school with three of their kids, and they were all very athletic and really nice kids.
Do you remember the name of their family?
Yes, the Connor family.
The Connor family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Good. I had to dig for that one.
Yeah, but you came up with it. Good.
And, you know, and their mother, everyone rode the bus.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't a school bus, that the parents would come in to shop, they'd ride the bus in from Aguila. And Mrs. Connor, and she'd always talk to Mom, and they would sit and visit while she was waiting for the bus.
Yeah.
So we knew a lot of people that way from riding the bus.
Right, right. Okay.
Native Americans, too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are, you
know, going to Parker.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I have stories about them.
you going there or them coming here to Wickenburg?
Going home from Phoenix.
Will you say that again?
We're going to go ahead and talk about the Native Americans that would come to Wickenburg from Parker. They would come here to shop. So want to go ahead with that story.
And they came in on the bus, and they would shop all day and go home at night. And the thing that I can remember vividly is the beautiful velveteen or velvet squaw dresses they would wear with the money, the dimes and the quarters and the nickels sewn on their blouses and the beautiful concho belts. And some of them would have the babies and the little backboards. Is that what mm-hmm. that's called, the backboards? And the families were always very, very nice.
Okay.
And this would be a big outing for them to come in and do their grocery shopping and buy their material. And
so at that time, Parker probably was not incorporated. It was just reservation.
No, it was a small town then.
Mm-hmm. But Wickenburg was the
It was about
city.
The size of Wickenburg. Well, smaller than Wickenburg.
Okay.
But they seemed to come in here because we had two clothing stores with materials and things
okay.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
would you remember what, like, maybe a bus fare would be from Parker to Wickenburg from that time?
Probably $3.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing because I used to sell the tickets.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
And I think it was 35 cents to Morristown.
Okay. Those days are gone.
Well, I'll say.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about dances at the Bowman's Barn, and where was the Bowman's Barn at?
The Bowman's Barn is on the Prescott Highway. It's just as soon as you go around the roundabout, before you go around the roundabout now, mm-hmm. you take the off-road, and it's just next door to Rancho Rio.
Okay.
And the barn still sits back in there.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it occupied now, or is it just vacant?
I think it's vacant, and it's up for sale. That whole area is up for sale.
The
spirit. But a lot of good memories there. Mm-hmm. Everett Bowman was a bigger-than-life man. He ran a great business out there. I mean, he took care of all of us, kept an eye on all of the younger kids coming out there. But when I first started going, I was about in the sixth grade,
mm-hmm.
and Mr. and Mrs. Fred Hans, who owned the variety store, had a son my age, and we got a group together called the Teen Canteen Club, and we had meetings every week. And on the weekends, Mr. and Mrs. Hans would gather up all the kids and take them to Bowman's Barn and keep an eye on them because they themselves liked to dance.
Oh, okay.
And so I got to start going there very, very young.
So I have this lovely image of adults dancing.
Mm-hmm. It was a family thing. Yes, but that was in a separate area that they could bring back, and they kept an eye on everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And only the adults were allowed to go to the bar and get the drinks, and they mm-hmm. could bring the sodas back for us.
And then the children there, mm-hmm. and they could dance too.
Yes,
and
yes.
Yeah, what a lovely image.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then as we got into high school, of course, we came along. And Everett was always there with a, ho, 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 how are you doing tonight? Don't you get too close to that guy while you're dancing. And if you did, he came over and tapped him on the shoulder, and he whisked you away and said you were dancing a little close to him.
Oh,
yeah, he was a great man.
What else did he do out there at the barn? You mentioned that he had a business out there.
He raised mules and trained mules.
Okay.
And he had been a, we should get into the Bumfuzzle book that's around here, I know.
Oh.
World champion.
Yeah, he was world champion, you know, in
all around
Madison,
cowboy.
Yeah.
In Madison Square Gardens mm-hmm. in 1935, I think, 37, 34.
Started the RCA.
Flew his own airplane, started the PRCA. They were the Turtles Association. He was one of the founders
okay.
of the, it was the RCA then.
Okay.
Before it became the PRCA.
Okay. So that was where he lived, mm-hmm. and then he opened his barn to the community
mm-hmm.
and took care of the entertainment in town, or one part of entertainment
well,
for Wickenburg.
There were guys that he knew that came through here with the likes of Hank Williams and people like that that would get up. They were coming through town, and they would stop and play back in the day.
Oh.
Yeah. And he had a big cabinet. A glass cabinet full of all of his trophy saddles mm-hmm. and his trophy buckles and his big trophies that he won. It was beautiful.
What a great memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever remember any of the headliner music guys that came through? Like, did Hank come through?
Oh, yeah. Hank played there. You know, I was pretty young then. Yeah. I mean, they weren't all that popular yet.
Sure.
And so, but all of the, I mean, we always had good bands because he knew all of them.
Right.
And he lived.
God, Johnny Cash.
Yeah, I'm sure he probably was. Mm-hmm. And he also had a ranch in Hillside, cattle ranch, where he ran cattle.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Since we're talking about some of the old timers and the pioneers, are there any other of the pioneer families or people or old timers that you know about that you can share a story or two?
Well, you know, I kind of grew up with the Herskowitz family.
Okay, let's hear about them.
Well, I'm trying to think if there's a lot of stories. I just ran around with Karen. We played together every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we were allowed to go down in the river and play.
Was there water running year-round at that time?
In the spring, there would be water, like a little creek that you could go wading in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we were allowed to go down there.
Oh, okay.
And then, of course, our Girl Scout troop went down in there. But as far as the Herskowitz family, they were, I think they're fifth, sixth generation here. They were from Congress, mm-hmm. and all the kids came down to school, and their uncles and great-uncles and great-grandfathers, they all worked in the mines up there. Okay. I'm sure you have Joyce Fields or Karen Lund on that, and they would be able to tell you whole history of the Herskowitz family.
Great.
Because they're really a big family here.
Okay, wonderful. Anybody else that you have in mind that you wanted to have recorded? Any other pioneers or old Wickenburg names?
The Poquettes.
Oh, the Poquettes.
Uh-huh, the Poquettes. I started the first grade with Melanie Poquette.
Oh.
And we went all through school together as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Melanie,
they were sheep ranchers,
yes,
right?
They were sheep ranchers.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, I was very lucky. I got invited to their house all the time for dinner because I didn't have a table or a kitchen or got to do dishes. I know that sounds strange. But I loved to go to their house for dinner. And I'm sure I had every part of the sheep cook some way that I will never know what it was, but
uh-huh.
it was always very, very good.
Uh-huh.
And then in summertime, I'd get to go up to Williams because they would all go take their sheep up to Williams in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get to go up there, and they had the Red Hill Sheep Company.
Mm-hmm.
And the Poquettes are related to the Simpsons.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's Larry Simpson's grandma's
yeah.
Poquettes.
Yes.
Yes.
And Melanie's grandparents lived right next door to the old police station, you know, which is now, oh, it's the little building that sits there. Jim, what did they use that building for? It was the fire station at one time, the old fire station,
mm-hmm.
and it faces Bash's. And at that time, right mm-hmm. next door to that building.
So is it next to the church then?
No.
St. Anthony's?
I'm going to turn that off and I can just... Okay. Back, sits back a little bit.
There you go.
The building in which I'm speaking is on Yavapai, just off of Tegner, on the south side of the street next to Town Hall. That was the fire station and the police station. Right next door to that, east of that... Melanie Poquette's grandparents lived there.
Okay.
And they were the only grandparents I had
mm-hmm.
because mine lived back in Kentucky in Missouri. And every day when we left school, we would walk through there and stop at their house and visit. And she would always give us a little snack. And she had an old cook stove that she put the wood into.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just the sweetest people in the world, and I just kind of took them as my grandparents.
Sure.
And then we'd walk a little further and go to the post office and pick up the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we would go right next door to the La Cabana, where the parking lot is, was Melanie's aunt, which would have also been the Simpsons' aunt. All three of the ladies were sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And we would stop at Aunt Totti's, I think her name was, and visit with her. And then about then, Mother knew it was time for me to be coming home from school.
Yeah.
And then Melanie would go home. So those are some of the good memories I have about
oh,
them.
Yeah.
And when I got to Wickenburg, you know, they were generational families here. And they just took me in and introduced me to everybody. And
mm-hmm.
that's how I, you know, kind of started here, which was
sure.
really nice.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Karen and Melanie were my two mainstays. And
okay. Yeah, those are great memories. Wow. So those are memorable people. Any other memorable people that you know? We've pretty much talked about all of them.
Ross.
Well, yeah, the Bross family that had the Texas Cafe, but they weren't generational. They, I'm trying to think of, well, you know, the Coxwell generational family, you know, I grew up with Royce, and I was ahead of her in school, but I've known Royce all my life, and Betty and Roy.
Any memorable stories with them?
Well, let me see. More so later on when I was grown up, because, you know, when you're in school here, you kind of run with a group that's in your class, and in your Girl Scout, you know, group, And but we were all in high school together.
Okay. So, what about early Wickenburg history? Do you have any early Wickenburg history stories? And if so, who did you hear them from? If you have any of those.
Well, I've heard a lot of stories from Julie.
Julie.
I mean, a lot of, and the Herskowitz family. You know, just growing up.
Yeah, tell a couple of them if you can think of them.
Let me see.
Anything come to mind right off the bat?
Well, I know that there.
Anything about maybe the Hassayampa River flood or mining or railroad stories?
Another family.
Oh, the Miller family were generational here, but I can't think
what
of any.
What did they do?
I think he was a miner, and he had four sons. Carl Miller was a policeman here.
Okay.
He retired about 10, 15 years ago.
Okay.
I went to school with one of the Miller boys, but, you know, I'm sure that his father, one of the Millers would be a real good one to interview because they have a lot of history here.
Great.
But none of them live here right now.
Yeah. Okay. Good. What memories do you have about, like, monsoon flooding of the Hassayampa River? Oh, there's going to be a good one here.
Well, one year when I was little, we didn't get a lot of flooding. I mean, I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first, the first year I started flying, which was in 62, I came home for the summer. And that was the first time I had seen the Hassayampa River run bank to bank.
Oh.
And, I mean, it was flooding right up to the old wishing well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the pictures they have on the pedestrian bridge.
Bridge, yes, 62. When it was lapping up. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first memory.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I bet that opened your eyes.
Yes, yes.
So good. Well, let's talk about that. So we've been talking about you being raised here in Wickenburg and what a warm welcome you had with your family and running the Greyhound Bus Depot. And then you grew up, you became a young woman, and tell me what you did for your career.
Okay. When I graduated from high school, I went to dental school in California, dental assistant school. And then I came back home and worked at my parents' bus depot for a year. And then I went to school in Mexico City College. It's now the University of Americana's for a semester. I came home, I worked in the bus depot, and I was just waiting until I could turn 20 so I could apply for the airlines.
Ah.
Because that was my lifelong dream, was to be, in those days, a stewardess, a hostess, now a flight attendant. So when I turned 20, I started applying, and I went to work for Continental Airlines.
And how long did you work for them?
42 years.
And for those 42 years, where did you have to go? Like, you left Wickenburg during a lot of that time, didn't you?
Yes. I left Wickenburg. I went to school, to airline school in California. When I graduated, they sent me to Houston. And I had never, you know, lived without family,
because
even when I was in California and when I was in Mexico, I lived in a college-approved home. So there I was with my flight attendant friends. I flew out of there for 6 months, transferred to Denver, flew there 6 months, and then I transferred to California, and I flew there for a couple of years. And then at that time, the Vietnam War was escalating, and the government was doing contracts with the airlines. So we had a government contract where we flew our planes, our flight attendants, under Continental. And so I applied for that, and I started flying to Vietnam, and I flew that for 4 years.
4 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then when you came back, when did you get back to Wickenburg?
I always came home. Every time people would see me, they'd go, are you on another vacation? And I said, well, I did my days off so I can come home and be with my family.
When did you come back and live permanently in Wickenburg?
I came back to Wickenburg in 1983.
Okay. And then where does Jim come into your life?
Jim comes into her life in the 90s.
1995.
How did the two of you meet?
We had mutual friends. My best friend that I went to high school with was here a lot, more than I was, because I would be gone flying. I was flying to Australia and New Zealand and to Europe then, so I'd be gone 10 days at a time. Mm-hmm. And so my girlfriend would always kind of take care of the house while I was gone, because I had my mom at my father's retirement ranch.
Okay.
And so she got to know Jim, and so when I came home, I said, who's this guy that you know? And I said, I think I'd like to meet him. And so Jim had been at my house with her, but didn't know me. Mm-hmm. You know, Eleanor had a party at my house one night while I was flying.
Oh.
And so he goes, oh, yeah, look at her. So she introduced us, is how we met.
Oh, okay. Great. And it's worked out ever since, apparently.
Worked out well, real well. Sure has.
Great.
And basically, I came in 1980. I was transferred from Mesa, Arizona.
Okay.
Well, I was with the Valley National Bank, and they transferred me here as a branch manager with the local bank, which was the Valley National Bank in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed Wickenburg, met lots of nice people. It was a real challenge in Wickenburg for a young banker, because here you have a little community. I could make a small business loan, or I could make an agricultural loan to the ranchers, and that was my expertise. And the reason I was able to come here is because I'd had experience in commercial and agriculture lending, and plus
Perfect.
The community lending.
Mm-hmm.
And lending is what I really enjoyed, and it just grew from there that I enjoyed that so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was here until 1989. Then I had another career opportunity, which was out of state with Wells Fargo Bank. So I, being young and aspiring, I jumped to the career advancement move.
Oh, okay.
But in 1995, then, I came back to Wickenburg, because as things transpired, I was laid off because we had a banking crisis. It was a real estate crisis in the early
90s. I remember that.
And so I was in real estate lending, and it just didn't work out, but not on the size that we've had in the 2000s.
Right.
But it was it goes in cycles.
Sure, we get, sure.
But
well, let's tell me about your experience here in Wickenburg.
Well, it was
bit.
The finest part of my career.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I had a great career. I was a young manager in the Valley of the Sun, Mesa, Apache Junction, and this was a real advancement for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so inspirational to me that's the reason I came back in 95 after I was laid off. I was put in 28 years in banking, and I said, I'm done with banking, but I want to be amongst a community and people that are friendly. Place has a slow growth pattern, which is fine, but particularly a lifestyle that just suits my needs, especially.
I'm with you there. Wickenburg is
it is.
It's all of
life
that.
Is very good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
what about some of the people of Wickenburg, pioneers or families?
Well,
tell me a couple stories.
Well, that's the thing. Being a banker, you know, you get to know everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, there's characters, but some of the real cowboys, because I am a Western person. I enjoy horses and trail riding. Mm-hmm. People like Dwight Pemberton, which is married to the
Echevarria's
family. They had a ranch west of town. The Simpsons, the Thompsons in Congress. It goes on and on. They were
Jim
great.
Jim and Gail Thompson.
Uh-huh. Right.
Ah, okay.
George Hawkins. I could keep going on, but so I met these people.
How about a story?
Junior Herskowitz was the great guy.
Uh-huh. A memorable story of any of those characters you just listed?
Well, Jim Thompson, who's still alive, but that's really a fun story is that he comes from New York, mm-hmm. and he was a dairy farmer. Well, you know Arizona is a tricky place. Well, they sold him a ranch in Congress that there's no way you could make any money out of cattle. But he tried, and he tried, and he tried. And don't get me wrong, he paid his bills, but it's the rocks now that he sells in Phoenix that have made him. And
the boulders.
And he's a boulder rancher.
The landscaping, yes. Real estate boom. Every mm-hmm. time, I remember every time a truck would pass through with rocks in those days, that'd be $500 in his pocket. And I said, oh, Thompson, you son of a gun. Because he's still got millions of rocks. But
do you think he has any cattle left?
No. Maybe 20 head.
Just to keep it agricultural,
Sure. And he also has a beautiful lake up there that
they swim
private
in.
People, yeah, mm-hmm. just fish and swim. But mm-hmm. beautiful country. Mm-hmm. Wickenburg has so much history. The miners, all of that. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. You know, we had mining booms, too, and they'd all come to the bank for loans. And I just couldn't get involved with that, with the bank money. But
oh, okay.
Uh-huh. It was tempting once in a while because
sure.
they were very convincing.
I'm so sure they were.
They had the private investors, but they were very convincing. It was tough. But mm-hmm. One story, since this is a little bit involved with the museum, is that I will never forget when I first arrived in Wickenburg, the Aiken Fisher, who lived in Los Cab, a winter resident here, Rancho de los Caballeros, was transferring art from his collection in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to the museum, donating it. And I forget who the curator of the museum was then, but we needed a place to store it, so he asked me if I had space in our vault. And I said, of course. And I just couldn't believe it in those days, and this was early 80s, that these Charles Russells and Remingtons were coming into Wickenburg in boxes, kind of, sometimes.
Sure.
But the impact of that, because I do know, being a banker, that Aiken Fisher's wife,
Jane,
okay.
Mm-hmm. was a Mellon. And, of course, Aiken was a successful businessman back there. But mm-hmm. fortunate for Wickenburg, these people, Aiken and his wife, they loved Western art. So that was their thing. Some guys have Rembrandts, some guys have mm-hmm. Picassos.
Mm-hmm.
But he, fortunately for us, loved Western art, and mm-hmm. he had the best.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the best in our museum. It's a real blessing.
We do.
Of people and giving back to their communities.
Right.
So that was a memory to this day I cannot get out of my mind. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate in my banking because we had a gentleman named Ted DeGazia, who was a Tucson artist and very successful in Tucson.
Oh, sure.
And he had a studio in Apache Junction, and I was able to keep some of his paintings for a while. And that was very impressive, but nothing on the scale of Aiken Fisher's art.
And that's all art that he acquired while he was in Pennsylvania.
That's mm-hmm. correct.
I suppose.
And
yes.
the museums there uh-huh. that he had on display and his private collection.
Yeah. Wow, just the fact that you knew him personally.
Super guy.
Mm-hmm.
Super guy. And George Wellick, that's another mm-hmm. one, by Wellick's husband. Flying E Ranch, super guy.
Yeah.
Fact is, one thing, when I first came to town, he called me out to his office at the ranch, and we had a nice discussion, and he gave me a book called The History of Interest Rates. He asked me if I ever read it, and I said, no, sir, I sure haven't. And he said, well, here, why don't you take this and hope this will be interesting for you. And I still have it.
Uh-huh.
And just couldn't believe it. He's read it all. He knew all about it.
Well, he was quite a businessman himself. Very and astute. He knew.
In Southern California is where they really, he was a Goodyear tire.
Bellflower.
Distributor.
Oh, okay.
During the war, and probably sold many tires to Hughes Aircraft and Lockheed, and it was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, again, they liked the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, good. Anybody else you can think of?
That's hard, you know, but it really
well,
was.
Well, these are great stories here from
it's really, it would really is the truth. In 1995, I came back here because I just met so many friendly people.
Mm-hmm.
This is genuine and sincere and honest and hardworking.
That's why I came home. I love this little town.
This is a very common comment that I hear from lots of people, and I do see that just a little bit that I have been here. People go, but they come back.
But, you know,
a lot of my high school friends have come back.
We're not, you know, if Sandy said, if I told them to close the door in 1947, look how we would have grown. Not much at all. A lot of people just want us no growth, but I think we still can grow. And above all, people will understand and know that if the quality of lifestyle is not here that brought them here, they'll go someplace else. Mm-hmm. It's what brings you here and keeps you here is what a community's about.
Well, what you said earlier that I think is key is slow growth.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop growth. Mm-hmm. But if you can slow it down.
Keep it at quality.
Right. Quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. That's
Absolutely.
Always a trick, right? Mm-hmm. And down in the valley.
It's been explosive growth there.
Right.
I was in the Apache Junction.
Right. So would you say, like, comparing the old days to the new days of what Wickenburg is now, can you say one is better than the other? Or maybe it sounds to me like you're saying the quality of life has been able to maintain itself through this slow growth process. Is that accurate?
I'm real proud of Wickenburg. I think they've done a very good job of keeping what was here from the 40s till now. We went through a big bypass with the Brenda cutoff, and everyone said, oh, it's just going to die. And look what we've done. Yes, the guest ranches were big when I moved here. Mm-hmm. Then that changed, and we had the treatment centers. And now we have the ropers. I mean, we seem to keep reinventing ourselves but still able to maintain that same lifestyle.
But these industries are also clean industries.
Yes.
The treatment centers are nothing more than taking over the dude ranches once people still come out for the quality of climate, air, and a chance
Good
to
point.
Take
mm-hmm.
a back, to take back their senses and then go on to the busy world.
Excellent. Yeah, excellent.
That's what
That's
it is.
That's a very good point.
So we still have that, even though we're growing, mm-hmm. even though there's more people on the road and there's more people at Safeway and
and we don't know everybody at
because
Safeway
usually that's
anymore.
Who's right. stop and talk, but they still stop and talk.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know,
still
nobody's
very
in that big a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And
when you go to the post office, you're in and out mm-hmm. unless there's a line.
We still keep our post office box just because we like to see the interaction of people.
Mm-hmm. We always see a lot of people at the post office,
sure.
we know, and that's fun.
Right.
And that was the thing that I missed the most. When they moved the post office from downtown all the way out mm-hmm. to the Safeway area.
Right.
And, of course, now we've all adjusted. But it was an event
right.
to go to the post office. I mean, every day that I was home, I got dressed and would go visit my mom, and then I went to the post office so I could get the mail and visit with everyone.
Right.
So it was...
to the point where I don't like to take her to the post office because she never comes out.
You got to go in there with her.
Well, you don't either. You're just as bad. Jim is a native of Arizona as well. He was raised in Mesa.
Oh.
So we're both native Arizonans. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have seen a lot of growth and a lot of change.
Yes.
To compare what's good and bad, I don't know. This is just Arizona. We're the baby state. We're growth-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's the climate. Once we got air conditioning in the 50s, you can't stop this place other than going dry with no water, but they've said that forever. And we'll just get smarter and smarter and figure it out.
That's
what we'll do.
Right.
And we're not going to dry up and blow away.
Right. And people are still moving here because of climate. Absolutely.
I'm sure they go home for the summer.
It's a year-round lifestyle that keeps you a happier person when it's not always dreary, wet, and cloudy, and cold, especially old people. Because now that we're considered old people, the cold doesn't feel good.
No, it doesn't. Not on
hurts.
Those bones. It does hurt. Yeah. Well, is there anything that you want to add to this interview? A favorite memory of Wickenburg or something?
No, I'm still making the memories.
Great.
I enjoyed Sandy's stories. I mean, she is 150% committed to this little town.
Well, so are you, sweetheart.
You've had many nice friends here. Still do. We enjoy the life here.
That's what keeps you here.
That's what keeps us here.
Yeah.
And I've been around. She's traveled the world. I've been in different states. This is not Mecca or Salt Lake City, the Promised Land. It is just a place that's just right for us. And once people find their niche, they've got to look at it. They know Wickenburg's rated high in Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Sounds like a chamber ad, huh?
Well, he was president of the chamber, so of course that would go along. And Project Central.
No, I think that's a great way to end this interview, unless there's anything else that you want to add to this.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your interest in inviting us. We certainly love to tell our story about Wickenburg.
And I will put you down for the literary festival, and someone will be getting a hold of you for further information on that.
Okay.
So, great. Well, thank you.
And go ahead and turn it off.